computer running slow? Has your machine somehow acquired a life of its own?
It's alive!
Or do you simply desire a deeper and more meaningful connection? Be one with your operating system. It's Arizona's computer guru, Mike Swanson, and his show starts now. Listen in, chat in, and watch live streaming at guruShow.com. Want your voice to be heard? Call in with your questions and riddles. The number is 520-790-2040. This is the Computer Guru Show on AM 1030. KBOI, The Voice.
Hello and welcome to the Computer Guru Show. My name is Mike, here to deal with your technology needs and treat you like a person in the process. 790-2040. If you'd like to be part of the show, that's 520-790-2040. What are you laughing at over there?
There's a joke about master sergeants and coffee mugs and stuff. It's fine.
Okay.
You're so chipper over there.
I'm chipper.
Chipper.
That's I'm telling you it's all fake.
Well, right? Yeah.
Because, one, there's a giant mug of coffee right here. And secondly, I was very not well the last couple of days. I had like the flu or something. And I just forced myself to sleep a lot and take vitamins. And here I am, nearly human.
Yay. That's really all you can do when something like that hits you.
I guess. I'm trying to be human.
Be human.
Yeah. We'll see if I can remain human and nice throughout the rest of the next 2 hours.
Can you adult, too?
I'm going to try to adult.
Adulting is so hard.
I don't like to adult, though.
I don't think anyone does.
Do I have to? I don't want to.
No. Adulting, not cool. I know, right? This coffee. Is really good coffee.
It's Guatemalan, apparently.
Apparently, yeah. That's what the little baggie said.
Right on. Okay. So, let's go ahead and talk about stuff, man.
Stuff and things?
Stuff and things. There's all kinds of things and stuff that's in the news.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Yeah, I mean, all of it is sort of like, it's doom and gloom today. It's, the whole world is just falling apart.
Well, I unplugged for about a week, and I come back online, it's like the world is imploding. It's just caving in on itself. No news was good. None of it.
Just stop watching the news.
I don't watch the news, though. I don't even watch TV at all. It's the internet.
Well, yeah,
that's even worse.
It's the internet.
That's even worse.
The internets.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Should we do the call first and then talk about doom and gloom?
Sure.
All right, let's go ahead and talk to Bruce. Hello, Bruce. How are you?
Doing well. How are you this morning?
Oh, well, I'm good until we get to the gloomy part.
Well, let's just talk tech for a second.
All right.
On TV, you often see the advertisements for a so-called fix-it stick, a little jump drive kind of thing you put into your USB port.
Right.
Does that actually work? What does that do if it does?
It doesn't.
It's just a hype? Is that what it is?
I mean, it does some things. It does, like, removal of temporary internet files. It does some other basic cleanup type stuff on your machine. And most often what we've seen, because I've purchased a few of those, and just to see what they do. And most of them, they're like, hey, look, we've made your machine a little bit faster by deleting temporary internet files or otherwise modifying the machine in such a way to make it just a little bit faster momentarily. And then there's an upsell. So they're like, hey, you probably want to get this particular, you know, off-brand antivirus, or you want to be able to, if you need help, you can use our tech support, which has an additional fee to it. But none of it seems anything that's worth the cost there. And not cost monetarily, necessarily. My view on all of these things is if you want to make your computer faster or, behave better, it requires less things to do that. So
okay, now, in conjunction with that, oftentimes you'll see that registries end up having a lot of TSR kind of programs that allows to keep running in the background. Is there a way to clean that up so that they don't run as a terminate, let's say resident program?
Which version of Windows are we talking about?
Windows 7.
Okay. In Windows 7, you can run something like msconfig to to deal with that stuff. You can turn on and off different either startup programs or services. Just be careful if you're doing that type of thing.
Okay.
In Windows 10, it's a different animal to do that. You change it in the task manager. You can define which programs start or do not start in that section, at least for Windows 10. You should never mess around in the registry. And any utility that tells you that it's a registry optimizer or cleaner is, no, don't do it.
It's trouble.
Yep.
Okay, last question, and that is, Microsoft Essentials is touted as a program to run, you know, for an antivirus and for a protection type of program instead of some of the others. What's your evaluation of Microsoft Essentials?
Essentials is okay. I mean, it's not great. But as long as you have, like, Malwarebytes, the paid version of Malwarebytes running, then you're fine.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a great day, sir.
You too. Bye.
That was easy.
Yeah. Well, for you. I'm sitting here, I'm like, can't disk cleanup do some of that?
Well, disk cleanup, there's all of the things that those sticks do that you have built-in utilities to deal with. I mean, so there's a free version of everything that they do out there in the wild. I know we've been talking about doing like a useful utilities episode. Maybe we'll do that next week where we can get a list of tools that you should have to make your machine run better.
Well, that'll be nicer than doom and gloom, that's for sure.
Right. Well, the initial thing I was trying to get at with the caller was that it's like every time that you add a piece of software to your computer, you're adding extra load.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of this idea that if I install this extra software, my machine will get faster. And that's sort of not the way that works. It's the more software you take off,
right,
the faster your machine gets because it's a lighter system.
Which explains why mine is so slow.
Right. So the idea of putting things on there, like I'm going to go buy this piece of software. There is no software that you can put on your computer that makes it better, right? There's software that makes it safer. There's software that makes it more functional or useful, but none of them make it faster. So it's, yeah, don't fall for the hype.
There is no magic stick.
So many things.
What, yeah. you got nothing on that? What?
There's, I'm not totally here today. Yeah.
That's all right.
More
there's,
coffee.
There's Dayquil. Okay. There's coffee.
I call for more coffee.
Keep the coffee flowing. It's all good.
Yeah.
It's so tasty.
Moving on.
Yeah. Let's move on to a sponsor message. Let's do that. Because that's a great segue. It's so,
best segue.
It's so
on the radio.
Smooth. It's the smoothest thing I've ever done.
Like this coffee.
Like this coffee. And if you'd like your engine to run smooth, you call up Perfection Auto Works. PerfectionAutoWorks.com if you want to check out their new website. Mike's great, dude. I really like talking to him. And he's a funny dude. So you should definitely talk to him. Go down there, get your 26-point inspection for free. It's the middle of summer. I'm sure your car could use like a coolant flush or whatever.
Something. I mean, I've seen so many cars broken on the side of the road. Don't be that person.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's so bad.
That is terrifying.
When it's 115, oh, no, thank you.
It is really scary to think that, car's broken down, middle of summer, no air conditioning. You're probably not me and don't have water in your trunk.
Yeah.
Because I always have water in the trunk.
So go to Perfection Auto Works. Get it checked out. So you're not broken down on the side of the road.
Right. And potentially dying in your car. Yeah. So if you don't want to die, go to Perfection Auto Works. That's how this works.
That's the best plug ever.
Right. Having a working car could save your life in 117-degree weather. So, yeah. You don't want to die? Call Perfection Auto Works. We'll be right back.
Your computer guru, Mike Swanson, is here to help you tame that beast of a machine. Join the chat right now at guruShow.com or call in. This is the Computer Guru Show.
I'm nerdy in the extreme and whiter than sour cream.
I was in AV club and glee club and even the chess team. Only question I ever thought was hard. What do I like, Kirk, or do I like Picard?
Spend every weekend at the Renaissance Fair. Got my name on my underwear.
Welcome back to the Computer Guru Show. My name's Mike, here to deal with your technology needs and treat you like a person in the process. 790-2040. Just like Mike. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Well, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
And I hope you're feeling better. And as always, I love the program. I've got a Windows machine that I recently put 10 on, and it's been working pretty darn good. I'm pretty pleased with it. But what's been happening here recently, I've only had it installed for about 2 weeks. There's a Windows Defender prompt that comes up, and it says you are not protected. And I did what you had instructed before on the radio program. You've said before you add the Windows 10 to disable or get rid of the malware bytes. excuse me. I had the malware bytes premium, and I took it off, and then I reinstalled it. And it says that you need to go to the maintenance and security area and turn your Defender on. Well, I've tried to do that, and it will not turn back on. And then I've gone back into the malware bytes to see if it's telling the Windows Defender to stay off. So I'm kind of confused. Do I need to delete malware bytes? Which one is better? And I guess my question is, do I even need to worry about it?
Well, they're two different things. So one doesn't supplant the other. So Defender in Windows 10 is the antivirus that's built in. And malware bytes would not tell the Defender not to run. So it means that there's something else going on there. Whereas maybe there was another antivirus that was on the machine that something is stuck in that regard where it thinks that there's another antivirus on there, so Defender stays disabled.
Well, I've got spyware bot and I've got malware bytes, and that's pretty much it. So is there a way that I can go in and find out I tried scanning and I don't see anything. And the machine's not acting weird. It's not doing anything unusual. I mean, I would assume that if I had a virus, if there was something trying to keep Defender off, it would also try to infect my machine some other way.
Well, not necessarily. I don't think that this is an infection that's causing your problem with Defender. I think that there's something else going on there. Maybe
you mean just a conflict?
Yeah, a remnant of some type before your Windows 10 upgrade may be affecting it now. Now, Microsoft makes a fix-it for this, so you can go to the Microsoft site and search for the Windows Defender fix-it for Windows 10, and it resets Windows Defender and basically forces it to reinstall itself.
Okay, and that was going to be my next step, but I thought I'd ask you first, because I thought, well, maybe I should delete malware bytes and then see if Defender comes on, but that's a pain in the rear, and I didn't want to go that route anyway.
If anything, I'd get rid of SpyBot, because SpyBot is sort of pointless these days.
Really?
Yeah. It used to be.
Oh, okay.
It used to be a good program, but it's...
I do have the free version, so maybe that's part of the problem, but how come SpyBot, you just don't like it?
I don't think it really serves much of a purpose anymore as it used to. It used to have some very cool features that were really good in the Windows XP days. But since then, it's sort of been pointless. Don't get me wrong, it does a decent job at detection, but with malware bytes on there, it's sort of redundant.
And then if I was to install any other antivirus programs besides the malware bytes, for example, a while back I had a machine where I had Avast and I had three or four different ones. And boy, what a mess.
Yeah,
they
don't do that.
To be conflicting.
You're only allowed to have one antivirus on the machine.
So does Defender then not conflict with a aftermarket, per se, I guess, lack of a better term, antivirus program? Because Defender is embedded in Windows 10, right?
Right. Defender will disable itself if it detects any other type of antivirus on the machine.
So...
You cannot have multiple antiviruses on a Windows computer.
Well, I had malware bytes on my 7 machine.
Right, malware bytes is not antivirus, it's anti-malware.
Ah.
So those are two different things.
Okay, got it. I guess I'm confused as to what is what.
Right, so antivirus would be something like Kaspersky, ESET, Avast, let's see what else we got, what are the other ones? McAfee, Norton.
Okay.
Yeah, so any of those types of things would be considered antivirus, and Defender will disable itself.
So what's the difference in terminology or in actual theory? What is malware versus virus?
So viral infections are, they attack a different portion of the machine. So they're basically self-replicating. Basically, that's what makes them a virus, that they replicate.
Okay.
And there's a few things that qualify as viruses these days that that wouldn't be picked up by any anti-malware. But as there's a whole lot of overlap now. So the anti-malware and the antivirus are both looking for the same types of things, but they're looking in different ways. So basically, the antivirus protects the core of the operating system, disallows certain types of reads and writes to different areas of the machine, and is also looking for certain patterns that would be considered viral. Whereas the anti-malware is almost entirely behavior-based. It's looking for programs that don't necessarily fit the term of virus, but are looking for any program that's doing suspicious things.
Like Trojans
The virus will get Trojans, the antiviral will get Trojans. It's things like CryptoLocker and stuff like that, where you've got a program that just is behaving in a cancerous fashion, which would be caught by anti-malware.
You know, now that I think about it, I was on a website where it was a printing website or something, and all of a sudden I got this pop-up that said I needed to download Adobe, I believe it was, Adobe 10.2 or something.
Player.
Yeah, I think it was. And I X'd it, I disabled it, and it came back like three times.
Right.
I thought. And since then, I think, is when this Defender thing has started.
Well, it may be. I would look around. You can ask the machine what kind of antivirus it has on there. If not, you can schedule an appointment with us, and we can get in there.
Right, well, that's what I was going to say. You guys are pretty booked up, but I'll try the Microsoft website first for the Defender fix that you cited. And if that doesn't do the trick, then I'll give you guys a call. What's your phone number at your shop?
304-8300.
Beautiful. All right, I got that. What is it again so I can write it down?
304-8300. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that sounds like a commercial. Hey, you guys have a great day.
Bye.
See ya.
And remember, choose Perfection Auto Works or death. That's
Perfection Auto Works or death. The choice is yours.
That's right. Thanks, Mike. Oh, man. Yeah, so the antiviral thing, it's important that you have some.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important that you don't have more than one.
Mm-hmm.
Because the analogy I use is that there is a very specific place in Windows that is designed specifically for antivirus to live. It's this one spot where it can see everything that's going on within the computer. It's kind of like a lifeguard chair. And the antiviruses know where they're supposed to live. They're only allowed to be there, and if they find anything else there, their job is to kill it because they think it's fake.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's an imposter. So let's say that you have very, very aggressive lifeguards that want to kill any other lifeguard that's sitting in their seat. And you try to... So you have two lifeguards there, and they're both trying to kill each other. And meanwhile, everyone's drowning.
I could see this as a reality TV show, actually.
There you
Lifeguard
go.
Wars, season three.
So that's how lifeguards work. And not only, that's how antivirus works.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's exactly how
I don't know.
Work.
It's like Lifeguard Week.
I think we need more coffee is what we need.
I don't know.
I don't know. All right, 790-2040 if you want to get your tech support in for the week. On the newly improved 2-hour Computer Guru Show.
Whoop, whoop.
Really?
Why not?
It was the coffee talking.
You can't do the whoops.
Why?
There's no whooping here.
Why?
There's no whooping in Computer Guru Show.
Aw.
Oh, just like there's no crying in baseball.
But there was Weird Al at the beginning.
There was a little bit of Weird Al.
Yes. He's awesome.
Let's do another break. That's what we should do. We're going to do another one. Right? That's what we're doing. I'm telling you right now. Make it happen.
Boom.
Yeah, that'll work. We'll be right back.
Whoa.
Whether you're dealing with hardware installation or, heaven forbid, a virus...
No! No! No!
Mike Swanson is answering all your questions one by one. So call in or chat in with yours. The website, guruShow.com. Tune in, click in, and kick back. This is the Computer Guru Show on AM 1030 KVOY. Mike Swanson, your computer guru, is just a click away. Listen and watch at guruShow.com. This is the Computer Guru Show.
For our next story, we're going to go ahead and talk about the obviousness of this. 74% of Netflix subscribers would rather cancel their subscription than see ads.
That's very high.
Well, duh. The whole reason you pay for Netflix is you...
You know why
I pay for Netflix? Used to pay for Netflix. You know why I used to pay for Netflix? Because Hulu sucks. And Hulu plays ads, and they charge you money. That's dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to charge me money, I don't want to see a commercial ever. And that's 74%. Actually, 90% said that they would cancel their subscription. But then they added some extra qualifiers like, well, what if we just charged you a dollar more?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, all right, fine. So 74% would be like, all right, I'll pay an extra dollar. Or I will cancel.
And there's so many other options out there now.
Yeah.
Netflix isn't the only one anymore.
I think people are just tired of it. You know, it's, you get hammered with advertising everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it's just irritating. It's not even like the ads are any good, right? So at least at a time, I remember I used to enjoy seeing the commercials.
Yeah.
Right? Just because I wanted to see how people were advertising. I was an advertising major in college. But, you know, I really enjoyed seeing how people present themselves. And now it's so dumb.
Well, and then on top of that, you've got product placement all over in the show anyway.
Right.
And sometimes it's really obvious.
I wouldn't mind them doing sort of like the, you know, 1940s, 1950s radio and TV ads where they had live mentions.
Yeah.
Right, where they just brought up and said, hey, let's this episode is brought to you by this particular thing, by the mm-hmm. people, rather than doing this separated commercial break.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to have to go back to if they want to avoid things like ad blockers, because ad blockers are really good.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's some ads that are good. Y'all right there?
Yeah, I'm all right.
There's some ads. I do enjoy watching some commercials, but most of them I enjoy are not made in America.
Yeah.
They're other countries' commercials, and they're way funnier because they don't have FCC rules.
Well, and I think that they're, you know, at least here, everyone has to be worrying about, well, which group am I going to offend this week with my commercial? And there's less of that in other countries.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Japanese commercials. Oh, my gosh. Best commercials ever.
That is a weird place.
It's so awesome, though. So awesome.
Let's talk to Charles. Hello, Charles. How are you?
I just want to agree with Tara. I think what this does is it presents an opportunity for people to create more interesting, funny, and different commercials. And I really like... I've gone to watching stuff on CBS.com because it has the commercials in it. Because some of them are really good. I'll give you an example, and this is not on CBS.com, but the Budweiser commercials with the Clydesdales, some of them, the one after September 11th, to bring a tear to your eye.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So some of them are just really, I know there's bad commercials, but some of them are really good. It's an American art form. And I think commercials are kind of part of what makes us the capitalist society, successful, free enterprise society we are. And I think the commercials are an opportunity. I really think we ought to be more.
If that's the case, there's a whole lot of wasted opportunity going on.
Yeah.
There is. I agree with you. And some commercials are just dumb because some advertisers try and tell you about their product rather than understand that the consumer only thinks what's in it for me. If you write a commercial based on what's in it for the consumer, they'll actually listen.
All right.
You know, your commercials that you do, both here and on other stations, talk about what we do for the customer. They're intelligent commercials, and they're okay, they're good to listen to. They may not bust the creativity barrier, although some of them do. The Guru one does. I love that. You're the Guru. Well, I'm the computer Guru. It's funny.
I'm not a creative individual. I know this.
You don't have to be. You work with people who are or who can do that job for you. Not everybody can do everything. I understand that.
But I can fix your computer, I'll tell you that much.
That's right. And that's what I care about. I don't give a darn whether you're a creative person or not, personally. I care whether or not you can do a good job fixing a computer.
Yeah,
you don't
Mike.
Have to be, pardon?
I said, yeah, Mike.
She's right. Now, I'm getting scolded for
computer
options.
You can work or hire creative people. Look down the hallway at that office from where you are and see Jerry Cross's creativity. He couldn't fix a computer to save his life. He could barely use one when he started. He's gotten very good at it. But the point is, he's an incredibly creative guy. That's who you need to do commercials. And if we looked at that as consumers, if we looked at the artwork in them and the opportunity in them, I think bypassing a commercial is kind of sort of a self-centered move. I'm not criticizing you. I'm saying everybody.
Well, and that's true. The difference is that I think that the majority of the people that are listening to, like, radio and stuff, the commercials are this sort of valid and acceptable part of what the radio environment is. When you take that to the internet and you say, people expect to see ads, right? On websites, they see ads. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in their email, they see ads. Where they don't expect to see ads is when you are paying for a premium service. So that's what this particular thing is about here, as far as, you know, Netflix has been toying around with this idea of, hey, let's throw in commercials, and that will not go well for them, because a lot of the reason that people go there to watch anything is because they're paying a premium to get in, and they don't want to see the ads. They don't want to be bothered with that stuff.
But is Netflix a premium service? I mean, it's $9 a month, or maybe 11 if you get the DVD service or something like that. Is that really a premium? I mean, I look at a premium service as costing more than $35 a month. I don't even look at Netflix as a premium at $9. Who cares?
Yeah, well, I think that the definition of premium, at least in the way that I'm using it, is anything that you have to pay a premium in order to get into.
Right.
And as an example, Hulu, you can watch for free. But they also have an upgraded package, right, with their premium service, which allows you access to other types of shows. But at the same time, they're still hammering you with commercials. Mm-hmm. And
is there a skip feature in the commercial or no?
No. Oh, no. And believe me, one of the most irritating things about Hulu is that ad will play perfectly, but the show you're watching will buffer and just be terrible the whole time. And the problem is that, you know, Hulu is owned by the networks, right? It's a joint venture between the various distribution hubs. So Disney is the primary owner of Hulu, or NBC Universal. And it's just, they are really trying to push a model that I think requires some type of evolution. And the music and movie industry and TV industry, in this case with Hulu, are really slow to adapt. And unfortunately, you know, Netflix is getting hammered from both sides. They get hammered for their bandwidth, and also they have to pay a licensing fee, and every year the movie houses are basically saying, you need to pay us more because so many people are watching your stuff, as opposed to the same deal that the movie houses would make. They would have to pay less for more people watching as a bulk rate. So it bothers me that they're getting hammered to the point where they have to consider adding ads, which nobody wants.
Have you ever seen the movie Demolition Man?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Where the head of Los Angeles takes a guy to a restaurant, says, I'm going to take you to Taco Bell. And he goes, why Taco Bell? He says, because it's the only restaurant.
It's the only one left.
It's the only one left. I think that's what we're edging towards, is a conglomeration where all media is basically one megalopolis, and you can't get away from that one company. There aren't more choices. That's what I like about ads. if you watch ads, and those ads, you know, and that's monitored, that ads get watched, it makes for more diversity in the marketplace because there's more revenue. I'm going to get off. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks.
Appreciate the call, Charles.
Now, I am going to play devil's advocate for half a second
here. You do your thing.
Cable. I pay $120 a month for cable that I don't watch, by the way. So I pay for this service. I'm waiting to cancel it until the contract is out.
Right.
When I watch a show, Supernatural, it's an hour-long show.
Right.
But I only see 40 minutes of it because
42
of
minutes, right.
Ads. Now, when I watch it on CW.com, I get one commercial. I would rather have the one commercial than the 20 minutes, personally. I would not mind watching one commercial in, you know, as opposed, or even like two for an hour-long show, as opposed to 20 minutes of commercials.
I'm with you there.
It takes me longer, and I've timed it. It takes me longer to fast forward through the commercials when I DVR than it does to watch one commercial on the CW and then go back to the show.
Okay.
So, I mean, just for that. Now, I still don't want the ads either, but I would rather have one, maybe two, than like 20 commercials in a row.
Well, I think this is why a lot of people go into cord cutting, right? Mm-hmm. Like myself, I don't have TV. Right? I don't
right.
pay for TV. I don't watch regular TV. All that stuff's like completely gone for me.
Yeah.
And I have my
That's what I'm doing when my contract's up.
I have the services that I use for watching movies mm-hmm. or even TV shows because I know where to look. But I do not watch any broadcast anything.
Right.
It's just it serves no purpose in my life and I have no interest. Now, there's a lot of people, you know, they want to watch the news or whatever. I watch the news on the internet.
Yeah.
Right? If I'm really concerned about something, I look it up on the internet.
They have live streaming.
Yeah, and most of the, if something's important, believe me, there's a live stream somewhere. And the idea of paying for a service and being inundated with ads is something that is really unappealing to me.
Mm-hmm.
I still listen to radio, and I listen to not only podcasts, which also have commercials in them.
Yeah.
But I listen to live broadcast radio, but I don't do, there's nothing that I do with TV.
Right. Right? And on that end, Twitch, it's a gaming streaming. They also play ads on those streams. So, I mean, they're everywhere and you're paying for them.
And, you know, not to mention that I understand the other side of this. Right. We put our shows on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we're hoping to monetize those. Right. By people seeing ads in some way. So I understand both sides of this argument. However, I like what YouTube is doing in this particular regard, which is you can watch YouTube for free and you're going to be shown ads, or you can pay for the premium, the $5 a month YouTube Red, and no ads.
And premium shows too.
Right. And premium shows. So, yeah, I think the idea is if you want to charge people for it, they get no ads. And if you want it to be free, then I think everybody understands that trade-off.
Right.
To say, yeah, I'm willing to see ads in order to watch this for free. I don't think anybody has a problem with that.
No, I wouldn't.
Let's take a break. Let's do this.
Woo! Outside space.
Your computer guru, Mike Swanson, is here to help you tame that beast of a machine. Join the chat right now at guruShow.com or call in. This is the Computer Guru Show. Mike Swanson, your computer guru, is just a click away. Listen and watch at guruShow.com. This is the Computer Guru Show on KVOI, The Voice.
All right. 790-2040 if you want to be part of the show.
Sounding less chipper.
Oh, I just read. I forgot about this story, and now that it's in front of me again, I'm like, grr. All right. So, basically a judge has said that the FBI can hack your computer without a warrant.
Oh yeah.
And we talked about this, when, you know, when when they came out several months ago. You want to hear the reasoning? Because people get hacked all the time.
So why do they need a warrant?
Yeah. People get hacked. Why do they need a warrant?
Such a stupid reason.
People get their houses broken into all the time. How come cops aren't just kicking in doors then?
I think...
You lost your mind?
His reasoning gave me an aneurysm.
Really?
Like, yeah, I just sat there and looked at it. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. That's your reasoning.
Yeah. All right. I can't believe that this is the end of this story. Because, I mean, the simple answer is that a person who is not all here mentally can, in 5 seconds, go, people's houses get broken into. How come you need a warrant to get into your house? Right? It's the same type of thing. And not to mention, it's mostly the government that gets hacked anyway.
This is true.
Dorks.
So I guess, you know, it's cool that Russia can do their thing because people get hacked all the time.
Yeah, so does that mean that because Russia was actually, I guess, quasi-confirmed to be the DNC hacker, does that mean that the government's just like, it's cool. People get hacked all the time. Don't worry about it.
They should be.
You can tell that this is the problem with government security, right? Because, oh, yeah, go ahead and, Hillary, go ahead and have a mail server in your house. It's cool. Don't worry about it. No big deal. It's not like it's unsafe or anything. It contains classified information. Nah, don't worry about that. It's no big deal.
Government security? Oxymoron, man.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and just have all of our military personnel's, all of their vital information in one database. And, oh, by the way, let's not put a password on it.
But it's okay, because...
It's cool.
People get hacked all the time.
Yeah, people get hacked all the time. No big deal. And yet, at the same time, out of the other side of their face, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, for the children, we need to, you know, put back doors and stuff because, oh, man, we can't figure out how to get into stuff. Why don't you figure out how to lock your own doors? And then you'll probably know how to get into other doors. Oh, morons.
Mind blown. I saw that this morning. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
What we need is another, like, I don't know, 50 or so people in the house just go sit on the floor until they figure out how to, like, secure their own darn networks. And then it's so dumb. You're distracting me now, Kent.
I'm sorry, man. I had to. It is. It's so dumb, though.
It is pretty dumb.
Those people sitting on the floor for gun control in the White House that's surrounded by people with guns.
But you know what? It's okay, because people get shot all the time.
Right.
It's all right, man.
Yeah. We don't need gun control. People get shot all the time. Right? It's no big deal.
Why are we sitting down? No big deal. Let's do this.
They can hack your computer because it's no big deal. Everybody gets hacked.
Oh, my gosh. This is the kind of stuff that makes me want to just unplug indefinitely.
I am unsubscribing from this legislature. That's what I'm doing. I'm just, I don't want to be part of this whole political process
anymore. I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
Oh.
And that's just, like, one of our headlines.
Right.
All the other ones, too.
I mean, it's like, I can't go move anywhere else, right?
No.
Can't move to Ireland like everybody in London wants to do right now.
Oh, no.
So you heard about the Brexit thing?
I did.
Yeah. There are people that are, it's almost like the whole Republican-Democrat thing here. People are really angry about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad that Americans aren't the only stupid voters, though.
Well, we don't know that they're stupid.
Well,
I mean, half of them are, obviously.
After the Brexit vote, Britain's highest Google searches were, what is the EU? They don't even know.
They should have done that Googling before they voted, not after.
Yeah. That's going to be the same here. What is a Republican?
Right. Excuse me, what is a democracy?
Yeah, exactly.
Or a republic.
What convention?
Yeah. All right, so, yeah, FBI is just dumb.
There's actually a clip of a guy that they were interviewing after he voted and after they said, you know, tallying up the votes, and he started crying because he didn't realize his vote actually counted. He thought it was a metaphorical vote.
What? What? Who has metaphorical votes?
He thought that they were just voting to see if maybe they should do it.
Oh, so like it was a poll, a hypothetical
basically,
vote.
Basically, yeah. And then they're like, no, we're counting the votes to actually leave. And then he like broke down crying. He's like, my vote actually counts? And I'm like, are you kidding?
So is he saying that he would have lied in the poll?
I don't know.
Why was it?
I don't
what?
Know. My everything I've been seeing on this is just, I don't know. Again, unplug for a week, come back, world implodes. I don't understand what's going on anymore.
Yeah, so apparently a whole bunch of people in, like, England want to move to Canada now. Poor Canada, right? Because everybody here wants to move to Canada if Trump gets elected, right? Or at least that's what I see online.
It's because Canada's nice.
And
mostly moose. They have more moose than people.
Poor Canada. I feel bad. I mean, they really have to. They're going to have to build a wall on their southern border. That's what's going to have to happen.
Are they going to make us pay for it?
They probably will.
Oh my gosh.
Poor Canada. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh my god.
Other dumb stuff in the news is that the U.S. Customs Department wants to collect social media account information at the border. They want to be like, give me your passport and your Twitter handle, please.
What are we doing as people?
I totally understand why, right? Because people are very, very honest on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, frightfully
it's
so.
Online in general.
Right. So, yeah, if we could just look up the kind of stuff that you're actually talking about, who knows? It might do a better job of what they're doing now. Because I have to say something in regards to the whole Orlando shooting and why a lot of this stuff is sort of coming up anyway,
mm-hmm.
which is just one comment. Hey, NSA, what would you say you do here? Right? It's just you didn't know what's going on here? You didn't know? Right? You better start, like, looking on Twitter. I think that's not a bad idea. I mean, I don't know how they're going to implement that because you could just say, I don't have one. What are they going to do?
You can look it up real easy. People look up your info online to hire you for a job. The NSA can't look into a suspicious person that they're already looking into.
That's what we do is we get a whole bunch of crazy college, like, people that can do doxing, right? They're just going to dox everyone that comes across the border. That's what they're going to do. Let's take a moment to mention our sponsors again because – the first hour is over.
Wow. That went fast.
All right. So, Perfection Autoworks, of course.
Of course.
Remember that your choice is Perfection Autoworks or death. That's really your,
the choice is yours.
Yeah, that's right. You want to be safe. You want to be careful.
You want to be cool.
Oh, yeah. You want your air conditioning to work. Yeah. You want your brakes the next week. You want to make sure that you don't have pack rats. Bam, Perfection Auto Works. Also, you can support us on Patreon. You can go to guruShow.com/Patreon. And, of course, Rob made that work now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
patreon.com/guruShow. And if you support us as little as a dollar a month, we give you our thanks. If you give a bit more, you can make Tara say whatever you want. And one particular case is
Desert Pro Commercial Cleaning LLC, the best Tucson janitorial services. And you can find them at TucsonDesertPro.com.
Now, if you are interested in being a sponsor for the second hour of this show or sharing sponsorship, you have that opportunity. Give us a call at 304-8300 or email us radio@azcomputerguru.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Computer Guru Show, hour number two. Give us a call, 790-2040, if you want to be part of the show. This is your second hour of tech support for the weekend.
I missed that intro.
Yeah, that's supposed to be playing on the first, by the way, that one. Last week was one. This week is both. Both. All the hours now play that one. I'm going to get you a new one, though. I'm going to get you a new one, though.
Got it.
I'm making you a new one, I think, when I have time. In my free time, I'm doing that.
What free time?
What are you talking about? I only work like 18 hours a day. I've got plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Nothing.
Okay. 790-2040 if you want to be part of the show. That's why I need more coffee. Right now.
More coffees.
More coffee.
You going to drink it or are you just going to hold it and breathe it in?
This is my, I was waiting for somebody to say cut.
He's posing.
I'm posing.
He's poser.
Right. Yeah.
Too bad we don't have a camera in here.
So tell me about this Pokemon Go.
Pokemon?
Yeah.
Okay, so Pokemon. Yeah. Okay, so the little game that you capture animals and then you battle them against each other. Been going since the 90s, right? They've got a bunch of versions. I knew all 151 Pokemon. Now they're up to like 900 or something ridiculous like that. Anyway, Nintendo is moving into smartphones.
Oh, yeah?
Pokemon Go is not for the Wii U or the DS. It's actually for your smartphone. And it's an attachment where it's an augmented reality game and you catch Pokemon, something that everybody's been wanting to do since they played it when they were kids in the 90s.
Oddly enough, I've never played the Pokemon.
It doesn't surprise me.
Oh.
I'm just going to say.
Why not?
It's I can't really see you playing Pokemon. But yeah, for the 90s kids out there, they're loving this because you actually can walk around with your smartphone, like I'll say in downtown Tucson, and there will be a Pikachu behind the phone pole, and you have to go and try to catch the Pikachu, and it looks pretty cool. Gonna say. I don't know if I'm gonna get it. It's actually not real expensive. I think they were saying $26.
You know what?
$25.99.
When I've always had this fear when I'm driving around in like neighborhoods that, you know, some kid is gonna chase a ball out into the street.
Yeah.
And then I have to slam on the brakes to avoid running over some kid.
Now, that's now there's gonna be a Pokeball.
Now there's gonna be some invisible thing that I can't see that they're running around with their cell phone in front of them.
Yeah. There's lots of games like that already, but Pokemon, yeah, that's the big one. Well, especially since Nintendo has been shifting away from their own consoles, which is interesting. The other thing that they came out with a few months ago is called Miitomo, and you take your little Mii character, it's your avatar, and it's on a smartphone. It's a smartphone game. It's not on the DS or on the Wii U, or they're coming with the NX is the next thing.
Well, considering how much money like Flappy Bird made,
or
any of the King Software games,
mm-hmm.
I could totally understand that that's a market that they probably want to get into.
Yeah,
I mean, because everybody has a smartphone now.
Right.
There's a lot of money out there. I mean, how much was the Flappy Bird making? It was
millions.
It was something like $5 million.
I think
month
it was even more. It was ridiculous.
Crazy amounts of money. It was a lot of money. I don't know what the number was. Maybe somebody will in the chat.
And it probably took them like 20 minutes to program because it's not an intensive game.
Let's not diminish the work involved with that dude's game.
No, you do work, but it's, you know, there's only.
It probably took at least a day to program. At least.
Maybe. I've seen more intensive games that come out in a day. For instance, when Charlie Sheen had his winning thing, the very next day after that big interview, there was a game about it. And it was more intensive than Flappy Bird.
But yeah, but did it make you want to crush your phone as much as Flappy Bird?
No, but I didn't really care about Flappy Bird much.
I'm almost convinced that the phone insurance companies had something to do with that game being put out.
I honestly don't understand what the madness was about.
It's a hard game.
I played it. Yeah, a lot of games are hard, but I don't know. I was kind of like, okay, well, this sucks, and I uninstalled it.
I know what it is. You're okay with losing. That's what it is.
It happens a lot. I've been losing video games since I was about 4 when I started playing, so.
I don't like to lose.
I know you don't.
I'm not a loser.
I don't like to lose, but I have a younger brother that's way better at video games, so I do lose quite often. Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of, like, I was playing the Hitman Absolution game.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that I'm no good at Hitman Absolution. It turns out I'm not good at this game at all. And the reason I was playing it, the whole reason I got it, is because I was reading some articles about it
mm-hmm.
for another project. And it was, they were making some parallels to life with this game.
Right.
And it turns out that all of these parallels to life are not true. And color me shocked, it's a video game.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I had to see for myself.
Right.
I wanted to see, well, you know, is this game promoting the, you know, murder of strippers and stuff? And no, it's not. It's, in fact, you get a bonus if you just leave them alone.
Yeah. By the way, side note, JT and Callie says the developer of Flappy Bird was making $50,000 per day on ad revenue.
$50,000 a day.
A day. For one of those little banner ads at the bottom that you accidentally click. Those are the worst.
I'm in the wrong line of work.
I was going to say, we're doing something wrong, man.
I need to stop fixing people's
you
computers.
You went to college for the right line of work. And then you started fixing people's computers instead.
Yeah, I had to get all, like, nice about it and be like, I'm going to fix your computer because I don't like to see it broken.
Yeah.
Oh, it really should be like, here, accidentally click on this.
That's like 90% of ads, too. Oh, pop up, man. Right when you're about to click the next page button.
That's it. I quit.
Those are the ads that infuriate me.
$50,000 a day.
A day. I'd like $50,000 a year at this point. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, yeah. Month, you know. Let's not get greedy. Month.
I'd still go with year. I'm good with year.
You're good with the year?
I'm good with year.
By the way, Tara needs a job.
Yeah, pretty much.
So you know anybody that wants to hire Tara? She needs a job.
Ooh.
All right. Excuse me.
You all right?
I
know. You said you weren't feeling good, so.
I'm feeling fine now. It's just this cough won't go away. It's bothering me. It's making me crazy. All right, so apparently Netflix, now this is somewhat unconfirmed, right? Because it's only on DSL reports, and we haven't found it anywhere else. Not to mention, I don't really understand how it really alleviates the problem. But according to DSL reports, Netflix is going to allow users to download movies. And somehow, this is supposed to help people that are on bandwidth caps.
I don't see how it is, because you got to download the same amount of information, don't you?
I think it's a little bit less to download a movie for watching rather than to stream it.
Yeah.
I think. And I don't know how that's going to help. And first of all, I don't think that's actually going to happen, because why? And, I just don't get it. I don't understand how that's going to help anything.
I guess there is one other source. Fortune.com is talking about it, too, but that's about
not
it.
4chan, Fortune.
Fortune, yes. Yeah, not 4chan.
Don't
Fortune.
Go to 4chan.
Fortune.com.
Unless you have a strong sense
no,
of...
No, just don't.
Oh, no?
Don't, ever. Don't, it's, no, don't go.
4chan is not that bad. All right, yeah, it is. Never mind. Never mind.
4chan is never good.
I retract that. 4chan is...
It's terrible. Don't go. Listeners, I'm telling you, do not go. You won't like it.
If you want to see the dark underbelly of the internet, 4chan.
Don't go.
We have to offer both sides of this here, right? We got to inform the listeners.
You're going to make them all jaded.
What's that?
You're going to make them all jaded.
No. They'll totally appreciate the sites that don't have... all of the things that make 4chan what it is. Without the darkness, there can be no light.
What is that? 4chan? F-O-R?
No.
I've never heard of it. That's why I'm curious.
Number four.
There's a reason you've never heard of it, and you don't want to know.
Number four, C-H-A-N.
.org.
.org. 4chan.org.
And if you want the government to look in your computer, go to 4chan, because they go to that site a lot to find people.
It's the forbidden fruit.
It's bad. Don't go.
Yeah, don't go to 4chan, for number 4chan.org. Don't go there.
Anywho, but yeah, fortune.com is also saying the same thing. But it's based off of an interview that this guy, one of the heads of Netflix, did.
I just don't see how it would help.
I don't know if it's something that you can help. I think it looks to me like it's something more that you can download the movie temporarily if you don't have a Wi-Fi connection.
I guess this would be if you're going to watch the movie again, right? If you're going to watch it twice.
Yeah, or right? That.
Then that way you get to download it once, watch it twice locally. That would save you some bandwidth.
Or like if you're going on an airplane or a driving trip and you don't have Wi-Fi on your tablet
Yeah, I was going to say, like,
that would have been helpful.
Vacation or something like that, yeah. For the kids? Or
oh, yeah. That would have been really helpful last week.
Considering the quality of movies that are on Netflix, I don't know if there's anything that I'd want to watch twice.
You don't have little kids anymore.
That's true, yeah.
I've seen the same YouTube videos 20 times.
My daughter has progressed past the most irritating stuff on the internet or movies. But now she watches these other things, and I don't know. I'm finally that older person that's just slack-jawed going, what?
Yeah.
What is she watching? And, you know, and she's now 13, and I told her when she's 13 she can have a little more control over her viewing preferences. And I still get a report, right, because she watches YouTube on her phone all day, mm-hmm. and I still get a report of all the videos that she's watched and all that stuff, but it's like, okay, I'm letting her be. But I've sampled some of the things that she's watching, and I'm like, how does, first of all, anyone find this entertaining? And I don't know.
Maybe if you were 13.
I guess.
That's how I feel about most of what my kids watch.
I guess I'm just officially getting old. Is really what it is.
My son and daughter are really into this streamer on YouTube named Dan TDM. He's got over 10 million subscribers. And he does a video every single day, which is nice because we watch the same 5 videos over and over. He's got like 400 videos. Nope, same 5 videos.
What?
It's infuriating.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. It's just...
Kids.
To be 13 again.
Or 6 and 7.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more of the Computer Guru Show. Give us a call, 790-2040.
Computer troubles? Need some advice? Call in now. Mike Swanson will be back after these messages. The Computer Guru Show, AM 1030, KVOY, The Voice. Your technology guru, Mike Swanson, is answering all your questions one by one.
Yes, science!
So chime in with yours. The website is guruShow.com. Tune in, click in, and kick back. This is The Computer Guru Show.
Welcome back to the Computer Guru Show. My name is Mike, here to deal with your technology needs and treat you like a person in the process. 790-2040, that's 520-790-2040 if you have a question. Much like John, we'll talk to John. Hello, John, how are you? I think John might have put us on hold. That's what he did.
Hello?
Hi, John.
Yes. Hi.
How can I help you?
Okay, about Blu-ray burners. Do you know about those things?
I've heard of them.
Okay. Well, could I get one that I can plug into my PC, watch, and burn and store things from that to and from it, and also, though, at the same time, watch it on television, plug into television from the burner itself? So, in other words, use it both ways, both for PC and for TV. Can I do that?
Sort of. It wouldn't plug directly into the burner. You'd plug it into the computer for the TV.
Right.
So you'd make the TV an additional monitor on your computer. And yes,
oh, you plug your TV into your PC then.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
So
I couldn't buy a burner. That would be like a, I can use it as sort of a portable PC external, you know, storage burner thing, and also a DVD player, or I mean a burner, whatever, Blu-ray disc player.
As far as I know, those don't exist. Is the ability to actually burn to it and use it as a standalone player for a TV, I don't know about any of those.
Well, would it depend on the kind of connection? If I get adapters that will you plug into the back of the burner and then to the TV? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like I said, I don't think those exist. I think the only way that you're going to pull this off is you're going to have a Blu-ray burner for your computer so that you can actually store things to it, and then you would hook up your television as a secondary monitor to your computer in order to watch things on it.
Okay. Now, sort of, I guess this is somewhat new technology, the DVD. I mean, these Blu-ray discs. Are there are those discs as a storage media? So, are they stable as, say, a DVD dual-layer disc?
Yeah, they're effectively the same technology. So they behave the same way. And, yeah, DVDs, Blu-rays, all that stuff's sort of on the way out anyway. Nobody's using that stuff anymore. In fact, most computers don't even come with any type of optical media these days. Everybody's switching over to flash. You know, so, you know, just plug in a USB with a 64 gig or 128 gig or larger flash media. So
I would get, like, so in other words, what you're talking about is buying, like, an external flash storage thing.
Sort of, like flash drives, you know, thumb drives. And most TVs today support that, by the way. So you could just, if you wanted to have some type of a storage media, you could burn or write to a flash drive media. You just plug that flash drive into the TV and it'll read it.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be able to have as much stored on one flash drive as, say, a bunch of discs, right?
They have 1 terabyte thumb drives, which is considerably more than you'd ever get on a bunch of discs. So, I mean, like, the Blu-ray discs are, what, 24 gigabyte?
Yep.
So,
I think 25, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. So, let's say you have 2% of what you put on a 1 gig or a 1 terabyte flash drive.
Okay.
So, there's go to flash. I wouldn't waste the money on Blu-ray or the disc. Even the media itself is too expensive.
How big is a 1 terabyte physically flash drive?
Same as everything else. They're all about the same size.
Like a little thumb drive?
Yeah.
Is that how big it is?
Yeah.
Wow. And could you store, like, I mean, completely unrelated data, different files and folders on one?
You can put anything you want on a flash drive.
Okay. I might go with that then instead of a bunch of disks. Okay.
Yeah, I think that the whole disk medium is dead. It's time consuming, it's expensive, it's wasteful. Just go with flash media.
Okay. That sounds like I might do that.
Now, flash media is not as stable as optical media, right?
So, no, it's not.
So there is the potential for data loss, you know, where flash drives just drop dead. It happens. So if it's super important, that is like an archival copy, yeah, go ahead and burn it to some type of optical media, put it somewhere safe. But flash media is sort of the way to go for, you know, any type of daily use.
Now, by not being stable, do you mean it deletes by itself over time, or what do you mean?
Well, occasionally the chips on flash drives just drop dead.
Just drop dead to stop working?
Yep. And then, you know, you can't read that particular media anymore.
Okay.
So, right. It happens, but it's not terribly common,
so,
but it happens.
In that case, as an important storage medium, would Blu-rays be better than DVD discs? I mean, they're larger, but they're the same as far as stability?
If it were me, right, I think that optical media is rather pointless. I think if you're going to have some type of a cold storage, something that's large amounts of data that you just want to have as a backup, you get some type of an external hard drive, one of the small ones, you know, like a, you know, the laptop size, 2 or 3 terabyte external hard drives. You make a copy of all your stuff to that, you put that away somewhere safe, and then you can have flash drives as your primary use, as long as there's a copy somewhere else. You should always have 2 backups.
But what if I want to have something where I can just carry it around with me from PC to PC? I think in that way, disks are more convenient.
You can think that, I guess. Like I said, most machines don't even have optical drives anymore. So truly, the most convenient that I can think of is the flash drives. They're small. You can put them in your pocket. They're relatively indestructible. I mean, they can survive going through the washing machine and the dryer and all that. They're very stable as far as that is concerned, but it shouldn't be your only copy of anything.
Right. So you're saying, but what you're saying is a second copy, the more stable medium is actually a hard drive.
Right, a hard drive or optical media. But like I'm saying, the optical media is expensive. It's time-consuming. Right. It takes a long time to burn a disk. And the, right, and the discs themselves are expensive. So if you just buy one large external hard drive, that's a great backup source.
Okay, okay. Sounds good. Cool. Well, thank you for your info.
Appreciate it, John. Thanks.
Bye.
And I don't mean to sound like I'm going back and forth on this. I mean, yes, optical media is more stable than a flash drive overall if you don't use it.
Yeah.
Right? But like, let's say you're taking a disk in and out often, it's likely to get scratched. It's likely to have problems.
If you have kids, they can break them in half.
Yeah, but if you're thinking also it's $2 a disk or whatever for a Blu-ray disk versus, let's see, on Newegg, you can get half terabyte flash drives for $60.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's...
That's a lot of information, too.
There's a ton of space. So, yeah, I don't think optical media is useful
anymore. Which is unfortunate, because it is good.
Well, I think it's great as a cold storage, right? You're going to burn a disk, you're going to take it out, you're going to put it in the sleeve, and then you're going to put it in the safe, right? Like, that's it. That's the only time that optical media is useful.
I say we go back to vinyl records. Declaring it right now.
All right, next subject.
Better audio quality, just saying.
Better audio quality. Define better.
I don't know.
I don't know if that's better or not. I mean,
compared to CD,
it's warmer.
Well, compared to CD, it's less compressed.
No, you can have fully uncompressed even on CD.
Yeah, it's not the same.
No, okay. All right, let's go ahead and take a break.
Get me a gramophone.
Oh, look at this. This is on vinyl. This was on vinyl.
Love it.
We'll be right back.
Whether you're dealing with hardware installation or, heaven forbid, a virus, Mike Swanson is answering all your questions one by one. So call in or chat in with yours. The website, gurushow.com. Tune in, click in, and kick back. This is the Computer Guru Show on AM 1030, KVOY The Voice.
I'm nerdy in the extreme and whiter than sour cream.
I was in AV Club and Glee Club and even the chess team. Only question I ever thought was hard. What do I like, Kirk, or do I like Picard?
Spend every weekend at the Renaissance Fair. Got my name on my underwear.
Welcome back to the Computer Guru Show. Give us a call, 790-2040.
The
old,
this song.
The old bumpers from years ago.
Love this song. I'm so excited to go see him.
Oh, yeah? Did you get tickets to go see Weird Al?
Two months ago. I've been wanting to see him for like two decades.
I did not.
Since I was 12.
That's good to know.
Never had an opportunity, so I'm very excited now.
So Russia is set to pass a bill requiring ISPs to eavesdrop on customer data.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
Are you shocked by Russia doing this, though?
No.
I mean, they probably shouldn't, considering, you know, the whole Snowden thing. And.
Well, you know.
But, you know, Russia don't care.
No, they're Russia.
Nope.
They ride bareback on bears.
With vodka.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, I don't know. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole. Next week, we'll talk about some of that in the second hour.
Yeah.
Because it turns out that, you know, democracies in Western democracies have turned into surveillance states. And the unintended consequences are that particular technology will make it into the hands of extremists and the wrong people.
See, I'm not sure if we're headed towards 1984 or Idiocracy or a little bit of both.
I think both. Right. And both of which are, you know, you read 1984, wonderful book.
Love it.
A little scary to death. And then, but interestingly enough, if you thought that there was any type of evidence for Nostradamus, I think that there's far more stuff that has come true from both Star Trek in 1984 than any of the other predictions. So 1984 is, of course, a terrible thing.
Right. Yeah.
And it's sort of, there's sort of some applicability today. But Idiocracy is really where I think it's at. That's a movie you should see. All the Mike Judge movies are great. Office Space.
Welcome to Carl's Jr. Carl's Jr. now owns your children. You are a terrible mother.
You gotta watch the movie.
It's a great movie, but it's scary at the same time.
Right. It's you can tell it's Mike Judge's way of looking at the world and going, oh yeah, we're screwed. We're just there's no coming back from this. And it's funny. But
and then you look at headlines on the internet. Specifically from certain states sometimes.
Yeah, well, we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah. But
that's next week, right?
Woo!
All right, so let's talk about something more fun. How about malware, the godless malware, can root your phone if you have an Android 90% of the time. And they're doing you a service. They're rooting your phone so you don't have to.
See, I don't know what the difference is between rooted and not rooted. That's where my tech thing kind of dwindles.
Okay. So in both Android and Apple architectures for mobile phones, mm-hmm. it's a closed architecture, which means that it's locked down to a point where the device cannot be altered by you or by other, you know, software.
Right.
That's the plan. Now, in the iOS world, it's called jailbreaking, which allows you to have effectively root access to the machine.
Okay.
Meaning that you have all the power, and you can change whatever you want about the device. In Android, it's called rooting.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing. It's the same premise. Now, it turns out that this particular piece of malware exists all over the place, even in the Android store, which is supposed to not have these things in it. These researchers found it in mostly in things like flashlight apps, which you should not be using anyway. All the phones these days offer a built-in, this is how you turn on the flashlight feature,
mm-hmm.
rather than having to have an app for it. So if you have installed any type of flashlight app on your computer, it's entirely possible that your phone has been
compromised.
That's a good way of putting it. And there are a couple of different variants of this, but the godless infection is what it's called, is not very nice, and it's really, really hard to get rid of. Even flashing the phone doesn't necessarily get rid of it. So it's entirely possible that depending on which one you have, you may have to just replace your phone, which is no good.
No, they're expensive.
Yeah, it is. Imagine having to pay that insurance, and they ask why, and you say, I got an infection, and I can't get rid of it. Now, it can be getting rid of, you know, if it turns out that you have it, you just let me know, and come down to Computer Guru, and we will make sure it goes away, because we're good at that. It's what we do.
Yes.
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 We'll ungodless your phone.
Ungodless.
So, yeah, that was more cheery, right?
A little bit, yeah. I don't know. I'm the chat, they're posting pictures from Idiocracy now. I'm trying not to laugh on the air. President Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Hector Camacho.
Speaking of Netflix allowing you to download movies, it turns out that there's a bug in Chrome that will already allow you to do that.
Go figure.
Makes it so that you can download movies from Netflix and Amazon. Just whoops.
Whoopsie.
I'm sure that'll get fixed quick.
Yeah, it probably already is.
Yeah. Well, seeing we're hearing about it, it's probably already fixed.
Yeah. They're pretty quick on that. Google is really quick on fixing bugs that affect things like that, especially when there's monies involved.
Yeah, and Amazon's kind of a big person you don't want necessarily...
I don't know about a big person, but a big
organization.
Company.
Yeah.
Biggest person ever.
Don't poke the big guy.
No.
Right.
I love Amazon.
Amazon's, I guess I shouldn't try to peopleize Amazon, but yeah, that's kind of a large organization you don't necessarily want to mess with.
No, because I get lots of good deals from them. I'm really cool with Amazon. We're like this. It's cool.
You're like what?
You're like this.
Oh, yeah. That's good radio right there.
Yeah.
Really
people
good.
Know. The people know what I'm talking about. Right. We're like this, crossed
right.
fingers.
Oh, yeah. You got to put the parens in there. Parentheses, crossed fingers.
Crossed fingers.
There you go. Okay. So one of the things I want to talk about next would be some, it's like an ad for me, right?
Yay.
Because we don't talk about Computer Guru enough because, after all, Computer Guru does pay for this show, especially the second hour.
Mm-hmm.
And we offer some services that you should probably know about.
What services do you offer?
Well, I'm glad you asked. We do websites and computer repair and networks and, all right, think of something that has something to do with computers. We do that.
Okay. Yeah, you guys have actually surprised me where I'm like, man, what if we guys, oh, we already do that. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My input means nothing.
There are a few things that we don't do. As an example, I won't build software for you.
No.
Not my thing. Nope.
I'm sure you could, you just won't.
Won't. Right. And it's definitely a won't. It's not a can't. It's a, you know what my problem with development is? Is it's a lot like interior decoration,
mm-hmm.
which is, can you move this window over here and make everything purple and what? No, I'm not doing the whole interior decoration when it comes to software. I don't like it. It just makes me unhappy. And I figure, seeing I own the place, I get to do what makes me happy.
There you go.
And what makes me happy is fixing stuff, solving yes. problems that aren't software development.
And I've had to bring my computer in a couple times, and it's been good.
Right on.
Good times. Love my computer.
You know, and considering that people only leave reviews when they're really unhappy.
Pretty much, yeah.
Most of my reviews are great.
Yeah.
I got a couple of unhappy people out there. That's okay.
You know, well, you can't please all the people all the time.
Especially the crazy ones. But I try. I really do. I give it a shot. I'm like, hello, crazy person. Let's see if we can make you happy.
Sup, crazy person.
This is a crazy guy.
You know, I'm going to offer you a crazy deal.
You're so crazy? No.
So, yeah, I mean, it's Computer Guru. We do a lot of things. We try to help out everybody that we can in various ways. We also have the Eastside location now. But, I mean, basically, if there's anything that you need when it comes to networks, or computers, especially the business stuff, we're happy to help out with that. And you should give us a call, 304-8300, or email us, radio@azcomputerguru.com, and we'll see what we can do for you.
And if you're not sure if they do it, call and ask.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the website has most of the stuff on there, but mm-hmm. even that, it's just like, that's too much stuff to put on there.
Yeah.
But if you call and ask, we will definitely help you out with whatever problem you've got. And treat you like a person in the process, because that's what we do. Word.
Right.
Word.
Word up. Ooh, another good song.
Man, Ken is on top of it with
on
the music
his
today.
Game.
We'll be right back.
Computer troubles? Need some advice? Call in now. Mike Swanson will be back after these messages. The Computer Guru Show, AM 1030, KVOY, The Voice. Mike Swanson, your computer guru, is just a click away. Listen and watch at guruShow.com. This is The Computer Guru Show.
Welcome back to the Computer Guru Show. As well as it's going today, because I'm sort of mentally fogged out here. But whatever, I'm having fun.
No more coffee?
Oh, I think
no more Guatemalan?
Oh, I do have a little bit of coffee left.
There you go.
Let's go ahead and do that. Hold on. Yep.
Yep, it's coffee.
Yep, it's still Guatemalan coffee.
Ooh.
It's pretty good.
It's not bad coffee.
Whoever at KVOI decided to bring in tasty Guatemalan coffee,
it's
we
good.
Should probably say thank you to. I don't know who that is. Do you know who that is, Kent? You don't know either?
I do not. It's good, though.
Yeah, well, we should probably figure that out. Leave them a thank you note in their little mailbox.
Thank you.
They have a cubby mailbox over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I haven't seen one of those in years. Back when I used to work in back when I used to work for other people.
Back in corporate.
Like forever ago. Feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah. Same here.
Let's go ahead and take a call. Let's talk to Doug. Hello, Doug. How are you?
Good.
What can I do for you, sir?
I have put Windows 10 on, and I want to connect my HP printer 6520 smart printer.
Right.
And it doesn't want to connect. It's asked for a router, even though it's wireless.
What do you mean? What's it doing?
It asked for a router. Then I try to install it again, and it gets stuck on the on the download at like 14 seconds, and it won't go any further.
Well, it sounds like you got some other issues going on over there.
Okay, so it's not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if the only problem were that the printer didn't want to connect, then I'd be looking at that. I'd be staring firmly at Windows 10, going, "What's up, Windows 10? How come you don't want to talk to this printer?" Uh-huh.
Okay.
But considering that you can't download the driver also?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
It sounds like there's some other issue going on there. Like, maybe you do have a router issue. What kind of router do you have?
I don't have a router.
All right. How do you connect to the internet?
I have a Verizon.
Little hotspot type thing?
Yes.
Okay. What kind of hotspot type thing? Is it a MiFi, or are you doing it off your phone?
No, it's Wi-Fi.
So is it the letter M as in Mary, MiFi, or letter W?
Excuse me?
So when you're using the Verizon stuff for getting on the internet, they have three different ways that you can do this. You can tether off your phone. You can have a MiFi device, which starts with the letter M as in Mary. Or you can do something like a cradle point, which is like a hotspot that connects to a special router.
Yeah, I think it's MiFi, I think.
Okay. So when you're trying to download stuff to your computer, so to get the drivers for this printer, and you're saying that it fails during the download, right?
Yeah, it goes up 97%, and then it says 14 seconds left, and doesn't go beyond that.
And that's after, of course, reboots and you've restarted all your devices, all that stuff. Same thing. Do you have more than one computer or just one?
Just the one.
Just the one. Okay. Which browser are you using?
I'm using Google.
Do you have any other browsers on the computer?
Yes, I do.
And which antivirus do you have?
I'm trying to think which one I have right now. I can't think what it is offhand right now.
All right, so I'm going to guess that your initial problem is probably some type of antivirus stepping on your download.
Okay.
So try turning off the antivirus to download that particular program, as long as you're getting it directly from the HP website.
Okay, that's what I'll do then.
And also, you might as well, get something like CCleaner and clean up all the temp files, and that'll probably help.
And where do I get CCleaner?
CCleaner.com.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you.
All right, give that a shot. Let me know how it works.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, let's move on to Kevin. Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Mike, fine, thank you. How are you today?
I'm lovely, sir. Lovely.
Great, I wanted to call you earlier, but I was working for a living, so I got the fast and easy question for you.
Sure.
Windows 7, I love it. XP Pro, I'm Windows 7 Pro. Don't want to change it, but I lose my chance to get the free upgrade next week. So, three occasions I've tried to download
it's next month,
on the interweb, and I can't get the thing to download. It's like the dial spins and spins, the machine stays on all night long, and it comes back and it said zero files downloaded. So, I said, I'm smarter than the machine. Got a 120 gig drive, booted off that externally. I had Windows 7 on there. Downloaded Windows 10 on that, and I was just trying to get the key onto my machine without putting Windows 10 on there. Same thing. It wouldn't download any files. So I tried, once I got Windows 10 on the removable drive, I tried to download all the updates.
Right.
It wouldn't let me do anything. Wouldn't let me register my key. I've got six copies of Windows 7 Pro, Extreme, Ultra, Extra, whatever it is. it will not accept any of the keys from that.
There are no keys for 10, by the way.
Okay, right, but it makes you, before you can register it, it makes you put a key in there. Because it's not, so I got legal, legitimate copies and all this other stuff. I'm running with a legal keyed copy of Windows 7 on the machine right now, but Windows 10, after I downloaded it, I couldn't download it onto my machine. After I downloaded it onto an external drive and tried to just get the machine to turn on so I could just get the key in there, so that when I'm ready to go to 10, it'll be registered. I don't have to pay for it.
Let's deal with a couple of things first.
Please go. Hit me up. I'm all ears. And I know you're running out of time.
All right. Ears. All right. So, first of all, it's not next week. It's next month.
Oh, God. Next month. Jeez. Yeah, I lost. I'm sorry, buddy.
To the end of July.
Month, right. Okay.
And so that gives us some time to solve your problem here.
Okay.
The primary copy of Windows 7 you have on your computer.
Yes.
Legit?
Legit, all legit.
Okay, so it's not.
I got three copies of it. All legit's only on one machine.
Settle down now. All right.
Sorry, man. Yep. All right.
Now there's a little flag icon down by your clock still down there.
Yep.
And if you click on that, does it say, hey, you
get Windows 10 now?
And have you gone through that process?
Went through that whole process.
And it said it's reserved.
It says it's when you go to download it from there. It, you know, like if you were doing upgrades on a file, if you were downloading security checks or something like that,
right.
The little screen comes up, and it spins for 9 hours.
Here's what you're going to do.
Please.
All right. Here's some instructions for you.
All right. I'm all ears.
All right. Do you know how to get into the services?
Yes, I do.
All right. So you're going to go into the services, and you're going to stop the Windows Update service.
Stop Update service. Okay.
Not disable it. Just stop it.
Okay.
And then you're going to go into C, Windows Software Installation.
Okay.
And then there's a download folder in there.
Okay.
You're going to delete the entire folder.
Okay.
Just
okay.
Delete the downloads folder.
Okay.
Gone.
Gotcha.
Restart the computer.
Okay.
What that'll do is it'll reset your Windows updates and tell it to properly download your updates at that point. It will take a very long time.
Okay.
But once it does that, you will get your Windows 10 upgrade.
Okay, so you think something got corrupted in the original download on that?
Gets confused all the time.
Okay. God, sounds like me, man. Listen, wonderful show. I wish I could have called you earlier, working for a living, so I don't want to run into...
It's no excuse. Quit your job.
I'll quit my job. I'm working on that. I'll talk to you next month. I'll let you know how it went, okay?
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks,
have a good weekend.
Kevin is my favorite caller.
You think he's your Kevin?
Yep. He is. Seriously, every time he calls, it brightens my day.
He's funny. I like him.
I like Kevin.
All right. So let's take a moment to mention our sponsors once again. Perfection.org. We appreciate them. And the theme of today is you get to choose between Perfection.org or death. It's your choice. And
death.
Right. Also, Patreon. We need you to help sponsor the show. Right.
Yes.
We have an extra hour. That's expensive. Cost money. And we want to make sure that we have the ability to help you guys. It also gives us the ability to add some higher production value. Because I have to pay people
more
to
YouTube
like do
videos.
Research and stuff and get us to do our YouTube stuff because we're really trying to expand that portion of what we're doing. So go to YouTube.com and subscribe to us. That would be great. Also, you can go to Patreon and donate as little as $1 a month to help us out. Or you can make Tara say a bunch of stuff, right?
Right.
So as long as it's, you know, family friendly. Won't get us in trouble with the radio.
Right.
You know, that type of stuff. Of course, there are some limitations there. But most importantly, if you really want to help us out, allow us to fix your computer and or manage your network for you at your office. You can give us a call at 304-8300 or visit azcomputerguru.com. Gives us it's what we do during the week. Because otherwise, we don't have anything to do.
Keeps the light on.
Yeah, we do like keeping the lights on around here. So thank you very much for listening to the Computer Guru Show. We'll see you next week.